brothers and sisters and young people and Sister Melody and Sister Fantasia. It's going to take quite a bit of getting used to, that is, but it's lovely to be able to welcome you as our sisters in Christ. Thank you all for coming to share this wonderful, joyous occasion. And I was saying to Brother Nick and earlier that this is one of the most joyful occasions that we can have this side of the kingdom. To see youngsters coming to the truth and taking on God's saving name, Christ's saving name. And you used to be sanctified because of having believing parents, but now you've entered through the blood of Christ into a covenant relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. What a wonderful joy that is, and what a wonderful hope it brings. And you couldn't have made a better choice to join God's family and be His children. The girls have actually chosen the hymns for today, and we were talking earlier about making a joyful noise. So I've got the hymns on CD. There's a little bit of an introduction, but there isn't a chord. So as soon as we've heard the introduction, we have to be ready to launch into the hymns. And Brother Arthur is going to give a prayer after the hymn, please, Brother Arthur. So we've got hymn number 99 there, and it is, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." Hymn 99.
Thank you. Yahweh Elohim of thy people Israel, the ale of Yeshurun. We come before thy throne of grace this afternoon to thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that we are able to meet together on this joyous occasion, when two young ones of Aaron's faith have indeed believed in things concerning the kingdom and the saving name of thy beloved Son. Having learned those things, O Heavenly Father, from thy word which thou hast kept for our learning and for our edification, that we might be made wise unto salvation, they have been baptized into the saving name of thy beloved Son. They have come out of the constitution of sin, and they enter into the constitution of righteousness. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou wilt be with them. We pray that thou art with them and strengthen and bless them as they walk that narrow path that leads unto the kingdom. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that even in this dark and degenerate age we live, there is still light in this world, the light of thy truth, and that our young ones indeed have walked in the light and have accepted it as it is in Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless them, we pray. Be with their loved ones, and be with each one, O Heavenly Father, of the household, that they might help them when they walk into the kingdom. For that road is indeed a narrow path, and indeed there are many obstacles to be overcome. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that we might help these young ones, that they might, at the day of Christ's return, be found acceptable in his sight, that they might have a part in the place where thy righteousness and peace shall fill this earth. Bless us then, O Heavenly Father, and we pray that they and each one of us this afternoon might heed the words of exhortation that have been given, that each and every one of us indeed might walk and do those things which are right and pleasing in thy sight. Bless us to this end, Heavenly Father, we pray, for we realize that at this very moment even the angels in heaven joy at one sinner that repenteth. And our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt bless them this afternoon on their walk into the kingdom. For we ask thee and thank thee for all thy loving kindness in and through the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
That we read from Psalm 139, and we're going to read the first 18 verses. So Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18, and Brother Stephen Ford is going to read that, please.
Psalm 139. O Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Yahweh, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearful and fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuous, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Well, as you all know, Brother Gordon and Sister Vivian and Tippins have known our children for some years now, and Brother Gordon kindly agreed to give a few words of encouragement on the day of their baptism. So over to you, Brother Gordon.
Thank you, Andrew. Dear brethren, sisters, young people, and especially Sister Melody and Sister Fantasia. This talk is a privilege for me because, as Andrew said, I've known you two and the Ford family. We've known you for about 7 years, and since that time, like our children, I've watched you two grow and grow in the knowledge and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the blessings of Mum and Dad. Why did we choose that reading? Well, we're going to try and follow a journey. The journey from before you were born until this time, and then look forward to the kingdom, which we believe is very shortly to be established. Verse 13 of that psalm we read. And this gives the idea of birth, doesn't it? And even before birth, the formation of a baby in the mother's womb. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So God the Father, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, knew about you girls before you were born. He knew that you would be born, and he even knew about today. He knew in his foreknowledge that you would answer the call of the truth and be baptized. God is all-seeing and all-knowing, and he knew that you would be here today. And children, as the psalmist says, are an heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Indeed, all of us are the fruit of a womb at one time or another, and by his grace we shall be in his kingdom very shortly, gathered together as an heritage of Yahweh. Yahweh knew that you'd be born, he knew that you'd be here, and in the meantime, of course, like us all, you have to grow up, and you have to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of Yahweh, and you have to be educated. And Yahweh puts the privilege of educating his godly seed, which is what all children of believing parents are. He puts that responsibility firmly in the hands of the parents. Now, these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, it says in Deuteronomy. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. For I know him, that he will command his children after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh, to do judgment and justice. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Exhortations for believing parents to bring their children up in the ways of Yahweh, to know him, to love him, to try to do his will. And the parents, of course, it's so important for us to try to be good examples. And the reason why we came to know the Ford family is, of course, homeschooling. Because up in Harrogate, which is a couple hundred miles away, Mum and Dad had heard that there was a family that were homeschooling, and they initially thought that it was a Rittmeyer family, but then the Rittmeyer family mentioned to us that they'd been contacted by the Fords, and we were homeschooling, and perhaps we'd like to give them a call, and we surely did. And here we are today. By the divine grace and guidance, here we are all gathered round at this happy time that God knew about those years ago. So God in his wisdom brought us together. And homeschooling was that key. And there are so many blessings with homeschooling. I've just written down a few. You can be with your parents all the day, or at least certainly one of your parents. You can learn things from a biblical point of view. And of course, that's a great blessing because there's no insidious humanism which creeps into the education system in so many ways. And it emphasizes the family, the bringing up the children at home, emphasizes that the family is the spiritual center and forms strong loyalties between the parents and the children, which last. And the scriptures can be read and discussed openly, and you can more or less determine how long you want to use in the day for that sort of thing. You're not under pressure about 40 minutes or less and then off to something else. You can spend ages, and as I know you have, and Vivian has, discussing certain things and going over them again and again and bringing out lots of truth from the scriptures. And another blessing, of course, is not to be overlooked, is that separation from the world and from humanism and all those other worldly influences. And the separation means we can control the environment that you're in, which is important. So I know that your mum and dad have brought you up separate, and you now answer that call to be baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to commit your lives to God's service. And I must admit that I've been impressed by your quiet and meek spirit as holy children brought up in that nurture and admonition. And of course, that meek and quiet spirit in the sight of Yahweh is of great price. And that's something that, you know, we can all take note of, that these things we need to strive for in our own lives. Even adults and parents need to look for these things of meekness and quietness, as was the Lord Jesus. And you're joining a number of godly women, godly sisters in the scriptures. I've just written down a few. Sarah, Rebecca, Miriam, Rahab, Hannah, Ruth, Abigail, Esther, Mary, just a few wonderful examples in their own day, and yet there are so many more that we're not even told their names, and yet they're so important to God that their names are in that book, like you are, like we are. And those sisters made that decision to serve God, to be obedient to his will, and they lived their lives in faith, often in very difficult circumstances, and we need to draw strength from some of their examples and we will also, we and you will have difficulties and problems if the Lord remains away. That, you know, living the disciples' life is very, very difficult sometimes. It's all fine and wonderful on occasions such as this, but there are so many other times when we're challenged, our faith is challenged. Sometimes from within, and often from without, the world will try and pull us out of the family, out of the truth, that we need to be together as often as we can to strengthen each other. And teenage brethren and sisters, like their older brethren and sisters, often meet with scorn, don't we? I mean, when we go out doing leaflets, we occasionally meet with people who scorn us and ridicule us and are very anti the things that we stand for. They meet us with hostility. My dad told me about that occasion when you were in Castle Vale on the tower blocks, and you know, you were lucky to get out when that skinhead picked up your leaflet you'd given him and threw it at you. I mean, that's the reaction of the world. They, you know, they hate the things of the truth. It's the flesh versus the spirit, and the spirit will always win eventually, but it takes some trials in between. Once they know what we believe, then they will be, you know, a lot of them antagonistic. But we must never be discouraged. Never be discouraged. Jesus says, love your enemies. And the Apostle Paul says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And the consolation of all this is that you know that the life of a true believer is much better and offers you a greater hope and glory than the things that the world can offer, however attractive and alluring they might be. The things of the Spirit are also the things of God that will overcome the things of the flesh, the temporal things. And of course now we've got all the company, the brethren and sisters, to help you with problems, to give you guidance if you need, especially of course Mum and Dad, and as and when you can, you'll be expected to help with Harvey and Titania, help with their understanding, to bring them up to that knowledge and that love of the truth. And you're not alone. You've got the brethren and sisters, Mum and Dad, and they've got the angelic presence, which are actually here in this room now. Some are here, and as Brother Arthur said, and Brother Steve said, angels in heaven rejoicing about two more baptisms. Yeah, and as I say, we often forget. I say this occasionally, but there are angels, you know, around us all the time. And if we have that in mind, then, you know, those are the things we need to remember when we're challenged, when we're, you know, difficulties arise, that the angels are there to help and to guide according to God's will. I've got some suggestions for your daily discipleship. Unqualified as I am, perhaps, to say these things, but I feel that there's some, you know, a few thoughts about guidance in what we all ought to seek in our walk to the kingdom. As much as it's possible to have God in your mind always, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Honour thy father and mother, the first commandment we promise. The family unit, together. Read the word daily, I'm sure we all do. Fill our lamps with oil, because we're leaky vessels, young and old, need to keep topping up with the oil. Pray every day. This is for all of us as well. Pray every day with the family and on our own, and put the needs of others before our own needs. Look what Jesus did. Put the needs of others before himself. And to try, as with our understanding, to try and model ourselves on the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to have that mind which is in him, which is in the Father, that it might be in us.
as much as is possible, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then our witnessing to people in the world, telling them about the truth, what we believe, what's going to happen on the earth. And as I say, it's often a bad reaction that we get, but we do need to say these things to people, to tell them what we believe, while there's yet time. Because Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And of course, always to listen to advice and guidance from mum and dad, and from brothers and sisters, and try to, you know, work out where, you know, where we can improve and what we need to do to increase our faith. And if you do those things, then you'll be that sort of fulfillment of that godly seed that you started off as all those years ago, that godly seed. It'll be the seed of Abraham, which God promised that he would multiply, and that seed that would inherit the land. That Abraham was a stranger and a sojourner on the earth in his day, and he looked for the kingdom to come to receive his inheritance. He's fallen asleep. Like so many others of the faithful ones, he's not received his inheritance yet. David, all the faithful ones, still asleep. And they confessed they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. And it was not for their day. They saw this kingdom far off. And they, you know, admitted that they were strangers and sojourners. Moses, David also admitted that same thing, that they were strangers and sojourners. Even the Lord Jesus said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He didn't have a house, moving around all the time. And I think the Apostle Peter also said sometime later the same thing, you know. Strangers, sojourners on this earth, and you are now with us on that journey that started out before you were born, and we're all on that journey, but we're on it together, the kingdom, which of course is a lot closer now than those worthies of old. We believe that we are indeed in the very last days of the kingdoms of men. So we're all on this journey, and you've joined us on that journey. But as we welcome you to the kingdom, we all here give you our fondest love, our best wishes, and our prayers for your discipleship on that time which we believe will be short before the Lord Jesus returns. And if we look back at this psalm there that we read, I think this is wonderful, and I hope you agree with me that I've perhaps said this once before, but these verses, especially verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, I think that's got a dual application. It talks about birth, about a child being conceived in the womb and being brought forth, and only Yahweh knows these things. Only Yahweh knows about the child being born, when, you know, when these things happen. And yet also I think it speaks about a number, all the members. We're baptized into the name of the Father, of the Son. When we're baptized, we take on that name of Yahweh. We look upon, you know, our brethren and sisters, and we are one of many, to be many in one, manifested in that oneness to the Father in the kingdom. And I think this verse tends to suggest that, you know, we are all fashioned, you know, in the wombs of our parents, and God, through His grace, His foreknowledge, has called us out to be of the world, to be separate unto Him, and to be many in one, manifested in the kingdom ages, a multitude of called out ones, believers. And I think that's a lovely sort of dual application of that word there, and that verse there. So let this be our vision, that together with our two new sisters we can walk through God's grace to the kingdom, continue our journey as strangers and sojourners, believing that the journey is now very short, walk together in unity, in love, and await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious kingdom to be established on this earth, a great time of joy and eternal happiness. Amen.
Thank you very much for those encouraging words of exhortation for Melody and Fantasia, and for all of us who strive to serve Yahweh, our Creator. One of the two things that you brought out really things that I've been thinking about the last few days. Obviously, the last week has been quite a week. Prelim on Tuesday, going across to Wednesday, and then Brother Steve coming across and interviews, etc., and all the arrangements for the baptism. At the same time, world events really seem to be looking very, very interesting as well. And the one country that has said that Israel should be wiped off the map, they're trying to provoke a confrontation with Tarshish. So it seems quite interesting to see the divisions starting to really show in the world. And I've got a feeling, Sister Melody and Sister Fantasia, that your pilgrimage will be a very short one, and that we all need now, brothers and sisters, as Brother Gordon's reminded us, to concentrate our hearts on serving God. And we are all a heritage of Yahweh. These children, none of these children in this room are our own. They've been all entrusted to our care to bring up for God, our Creator. So thank you very much, Gordon. You've given a lovely explanation there. Very encouraging for us all. It says on the list here, announcement. I've only really got one announcement. I can think of a few. Okay, let's do a few announcements. tomorrow, God willing, for Melody and Fantasia's receiving in, Brother Stephen Ford is going to be exhorting, especially prepared exhortation. And after this service, we hope to have some tea, which Sister Liz has lovingly prepared, I believe with the help of Brother Steve as well. And in fact, when little Tanya ended up in casualty the other day, Melody and Fantasia ended up helping Liz do some of the baking, they came back and really wished that we hadn't picked them up too soon, so they're having a lovely time with the males. But we'd like to thank everybody for the support. For those who, Brother Phil, for example, who has taught Melody and Fantasia in Sunday school, Brother Matthew, obviously, who's taught Harvey, and I'd like to thank Brother Robert, who's not here, for being their Sunday school superintendent, because all of these examples have really, really helped to encourage the children on the right path, and the only path that we can take that will lead to the kingdom. God willing, after tea, and those who can stay, and we would love you to stay if you can, we'd like to do the readings of the day, so we'll reassemble and read God's word, and we can have some discussion on that. So, Brother Phil, do you have any announcements you want to make from Hengoid's end? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right then. Well, we'll close with the second hymn that the girls chosen, and this is hymn 111, a roadshow bloom in a lonely place, and Brother Phil has kindly agreed to conclude in prayer. And then we won't give thanks for food now, we'll wait until Sister Liz and is with us. Hymn number 111, followed by prayer. A rose shall bloom in a lonely place, a wild shall echo with sounds of joy, for heaven's own gladness its bounds shall grace, and forms angelic their songs employ.
Great and the eternal creator of the universe, thou art the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We would at this time desire to approach unto thy holy presence through the highly exalted name of thy dearly beloved Son, to praise thy great and holy name, to offer before thy throne our grateful thanks for thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies, and for thy word which even now has great power to act upon the minds and consciences. And Heavenly Father, we have seen at this time, Heavenly Father, our two new sisters responding to the things which are contained in thy glorious word of life, that from children they have known indeed the scriptures of truth which has made them, as it has made us, wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And they have indeed remembered thee, their great creator, our great creator, in the days of their youth. And indeed we have been reminded through the word of exhortation of the importance of following in the footsteps of thy beloved Son, to remember that we are indeed as pilgrims in this age, and we pray that our young sisters may hold fast diligently to those things which they have come to love and believe. And we pray that we may all take heed to the word of exhortation that has been provided for our consideration as well, that we may hold fast to those things, that we will not have received thy grace in vain, but that we may receive an abundant entrance into thy glorious kingdom, which is even now the strong desire of our two new sisters, May it always be the desire of each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, to, as we have been exhorted, manifest thy great and holy name in our lives, that the things we say, that the things we think, the actions which we do, may be to thy honour and to thy glory, and that in that day of account we may be found acceptable to have a part and a place in our glorious and wonderful age of righteousness, when thy Son shall take his rightful position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon the throne of David. Bless us all to that end, Heavenly Father, as we ask thee to hear us now through thy dearly beloved Son, even Jesus, the Anointed One of Israel. Amen.
Amen.